Friends, Romans, Gumptionmen. Welcome back to Gumption. I'm your host, Lil, and this is the podcast that helps you become the main character of your own life. This is our second season, 32nd episode, entitled How to Thrift Like a Pro. I must say, as I sit here recording, I am extremely excited about this episode because those who know me know that thrifting has been a long time passion of mine. In all honesty, it started as a social activity for me. Like, I don't remember a specific point where I was like, oh, I am not seeing the kind of clothes I like in stores that I'm frequently shopping at or that my mom is shopping at, because I started thrifting when I was like 13, 14 years old. So still a lot of the time was kind of shopping with my mom, not necessarily doing online shopping yet or anything. But I seem to recall that thrifting for me became more of a hobby to do with friends, like a fun little excursion in our hometown. And it eventually evolved into me getting a greater understanding of the environmental impact of fast fashion, which is definitely a more recent development in the last 5 years. But also like being able to hone in on my personal style and using thrifting as a means to do that. So whether you're a seasoned thrifter like myself, or you're somebody who's looking to foray into the thrifting world and wants to hear some methods, strategies, tips, and tricks, because we all know it's very competitive and there's a limited amount of things out there, so you gotta go in with a strategy. You've come to the right place, because I'm gonna cover all of that and more in this episode. And I also am gonna dive a little bit into the environmental impact, because I learned a lot about this at my previous job when I was putting together the sustainable fashion show for our teens, which centered on thrifting and using repurposed materials to create new looks that they then modeled on a runway. Not to toot my own horn, but it was a pretty cool program and it was a great event and I'm very proud of it. So I'm gonna share some of the research and information I learned from that, because I think it only makes thrifting more fun and feel better when you do it, when you kind of know the impact that you might be having. Let's get started with the why behind thrifting. I'm gonna list two things here. The personal why that you have to tailor to yourself, and then also the sustainability environmental why behind thrifting. Blame it on my Scorpio personality, but I'm all about doing things that make me more interesting. And I am a huge believer that thrifting does exactly that. Even though it's become a little bit more of a mainstream hobby these days, you never know what you're gonna find when you walk into a thrift, antique, or vintage store. And frankly, I just love the idea of picking up some random item or some random sweater that belonged to somebody and no longer belongs to them for whatever reason, and you're giving it a second chance. Also, let's be real, it's probably way more interesting than something you could buy off of Target, Walmart, or Amazon. And I'm not trying to be on my high horse here, because I am looking at things in my office that I have bought from all of those places. Sometimes you just need a functional item and that is the end of that. But when it comes to being a collector of things that you're going to bring with you throughout your life, and maybe one day your kids could inherit those items if you choose to go that path, it's just so much more fun to have a story behind everything. Not just like, I bought this online, but rather I walked into a thrift store and I saw this weird cookie jar and I thought this would be a perfect vase for flowers, so I bought it for my apartment. And then you find 15 other uses for it and it just becomes part of your lore and your canon, and knowing that it was part of someone else's life too just gives it that added layer of meaning. That was like an existential why, but then of course there's the obvious reasons, like thrifting is usually pretty cheap. Now that's where I draw the line between antiquing and vintage and something like thrifting, because thrifting can be magical in the sense that you do find some things that are really old or really valuable, but if you're going in to find something like that, you should really be focusing on the antique and vintage stores because they curate their collection. But thrifting itself is usually pretty cost friendly. I know there have been times where my budget has been pretty tight, but I still wanted to go shopping or buy new clothes or buy little home decor items. And it was much more cost efficient for me to go to a thrift shop and get them secondhand. This actually brings up a point that I want to address towards the beginning here, because throughout this episode, I'm going to be talking about thrifting as a fun hobby and as a change you can make to your lifestyle to save some money, help the environment a little bit, find your personal style. But I do want to recognize that thrifting exists because of how high our cost of living is. And it is a really great resource for people who may not be able to afford buying their clothes from brands or mainstream stores. And in this episode, I do not want to diminish that whatsoever. I recognize my privilege that I am able to go into a thrift store for fun and that it's not necessarily where I have to buy everything from. And that can be one valid argument against thrifting, like, oh, you're going in and taking quality items away from people who genuinely need them and can only access them through something like a thrift store. So I guess I'll say just like be courteous. There have been a lot of times where I've been thrifting and I have noticed people in there with me that I just defer to them. Like when I see a family in a thrift store, I'm not gonna be fighting them for a graphic tee that I really want. Like just be courteous. And remember that if you are there for a hobby, you're not there for a competitive sport. So you need to just chill. Anyway, the reason I bring this up as a segue between the cost efficiency of thrifting and the environmental impact of thrifting is because I think it is also important to recognize that we waste so much stuff as a human population, especially in America. So while it's definitely important to know your place while thrifting, if you are there doing it as a hobby, as a social activity, whatever, I think it can be a little unproductive to say, well, you shouldn't thrift because you're going to be taking things away from people who really need it. Like anyone who has ever walked into a thrift store knows there is an abundance of crap in there. And yes, while there are definitely some gems that are kind of like finders keepers, for the most part, there's lots of inventory and things actually get wasted even at thrift stores because they don't all get bought or they sit on the shelves for a really long time. And after a while, they have to just refresh and get rid of stuff. And that's kind of a sad reality of our current state of consumerism. I won't get on my soapbox here, but my point is the environmental impact of thrifting is always a good one when you are using something secondhand. That's one less thing that has to be made. That's one less thing that has to be broken down in a landfill or washing up on a beach somewhere. And to me, that's a win. Here's where the research behind the why comes in. Did you know that 15% of our globe's total carbon emissions come from the fast fashion industry? I didn't either until a little over a year ago when I started doing the research for the sustainable fashion program that I was working on. I also did not know that the United States alone throws away up to 11.3 million tons of textile waste each year. To put that in perspective, that's about 2,150 pieces of clothing each second. As depressing as that is, and trust me, there's many more depressing statistics, I want you to think about the flip side of that. What would happen if you and everybody you know started thrifting as your first resort when you want to find some particular clothing item? Rather than immediately buying something that's trendy because it's trendy, what if you tried to find it at a thrift store? Or what if you just said, you know what, I actually don't like that trend very much. Or that trend doesn't really align with how I dress, or I don't think that would look good on me. After a while of shifting your mindset kind of towards that, you end up with somebody like me who by no means is perfect, but after 10 years of thrifting, my closet has gone through phases where about 75% of it was thrifted stuff. And I kid you not, if somebody asked me about any item, whether it was a shirt, a jar, a bowl, whatever, that I thrifted, I could tell you when and where, what year it was, what city I was in, who I was with, other things I bought in that same thrifting trip, things that I flipped from that thrifting trip. Like, there's just something so special about going thrifting because it's a memory, not just like another trip to the store or another errand. And that is something that for me never goes away. The items that I've thrifted, I could have them for years. And I, at least now, while my memory stands, I can remember them and tell that story around them, and that just makes it even better. So why thrift? Well, it's fun. It's a core memory. It's an alternative to the harmful practices of the fashion industry simply by rescuing an item from what would go in the trash. It's a creative way to help the environment that can totally be personalized to you and your interests, and it's not a slave to the trends. And my personal favorite, it's a way to give new life to an existing garment or object that was discarded or abandoned or just unwanted by somebody. There is a reason the saying exists, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, I'm going to stop boring you with the statistics of all of this, and I'm going to tell you a little anecdote, two anecdotes actually, about some recent thrifting stories that I just found fully encapsulated the experience. First of all, a few weeks ago, I was in a very creative mood and I thought, you know what, I want to revisit blackout poetry. For those of you who don't know what blackout poetry is, it's basically something that I learned of from Tumblr back in 2014, where you take the page of a book or a newspaper or anything with words printed physically on it. You can do it digitally too, but I feel like it just doesn't have the same oomph, you know? And usually you take a Sharpie or black paint and you black out a lot of the page, except for, of course, the words that you keep to form your new message, whether that's a poem, a sentence, a letter, whatever. Some people get really fancy with it and they like put boxes around parts of words and letters. When I do it, I try to keep the words intact or else my brain just gets jumbled in alphabet soup. But essentially, I wanted to challenge myself and flex my writing muscle and work on some blackout poetry. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the thrift store. I'm going to buy a dilapidated book that has probably been sitting there for ages. And then I won't feel bad about ruining a book that I spent a lot of money on or a book that I've actually read or wanted to read, because that's pretty much what my book collection consists of at the moment. So I was invited by my friend Lo, Gumption alum from our Thinking Like a Founder episode, to go thrifting with a group of her friends as organized by fashion blogger Kirsty Marie at Glam Chic Mama. You should definitely give her a follow. And I thought, you know what? I can't imagine a better way to spend my Saturday afternoon than to thrift with a bunch of cool chicks. And yeah, damn it, I'll get this book while I'm there. Amidst our thrifting trip, I grabbed many things, including an old copy of The Scarlet Letter, which was clearly not going to be missed by anyone as the spine was very worn, there was writing inside of it, and of course the number one giveaway, it was covered in dust, which means it had not moved from that shelf for a very long time. Ironically enough, weeks later, after I had already done my little activity ripping out the pages, making poetry with it, I just so happened to be fidgeting with the book and I was looking at the couple cover pages, like the physical paperback cover and the couple pages preceding it. And I see there's a name written inside the book in pencil, presumably the person who owned it during their school time reading. But I do a double take because when I read the name, it is my cousin. Now, for those of you who know, my cousin Eric is one of my best friends. So maybe when I read his name, I just didn't even register it. I was just like, oh yeah, Eric Dombrowski. Like, yeah, of course. Wait, what? I literally picked up this book at the thrift store that belonged to my cousin that he had in school, donated because he didn't want it anymore. And when I asked him about it, he said, I donated that 7 years ago. This just goes to show that you really can find anything in a thrift store. And yes, while many of the inventory can get thrown away if it's not purchased because they want to keep the shelves looking fresh for customers to be buying stuff, there are some sections like bookshelves and records and CDs, DVDs, all that kind of stuff that kind of conglomerates in one area that can sit there for years on end until one person walks in and says, I want that. I'm going to take it off your hands. And it can really be such a silly little coincidence like that. My other quick story about thrifting, which I feel like has happened to me many times, but this is a recent occurrence of it, just goes to show the fickleness of trends. So several months ago, I bought this oversized sweater that I'm absolutely obsessed with. It's like cable knit. It's got kind of this dark background, like a dark brown, blackish color. And it's very chunky. It's got like maroon and gold. And honestly, as I'm describing these colors, they sound like they would be pretty ugly together. But trust me, guys, it works. The pattern is like very intermingled. It just looks like a very chaotic little pattern. But what attracted me to the sweater was the material. It was like very heavy and soft. And at the time it was the dead of winter and I wanted some bigger sweaters that I could layer with other clothes. So It was like $2. I bought it, no questions asked. And then I wore it to my mom's house a couple weeks later, and she said, "Wow, I think your dad had that exact same sweater back in the 80s. The 80s. Yeah, guys, no wonder the pattern is a little bit strange, but I'm strange and unusual. What can I say? I like those kind of things. Maybe this sweater wouldn't be for everybody. Clearly, it was a men's sweater, not even my size. I wanted something a little bit oversized, but I decided to take a chance on it. And as it turns out, it was something that was wildly popular in the 80s, to the point where my mom insisted that not only did my dad have it, but mostly every man she knew had a sweater almost exactly like this one. And that just goes to show that although the trends then aren't necessarily popular anymore, that doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to love them. And maybe we could say the same thing about the trends now. I know that the quality of clothing has decreased quite a bit since then, especially in the fast fashion sense. But trends should not be dictating what is out there. And that is why I love thrifting, because you can find things that would never be made today because they'd be considered totally weird or whack from a trend perspective or just not aesthetic. And I think those are some of the funnest things. I know that is not a word. Some of the funnest things you could find in a thrift store. Weird sweaters. Shirts that somebody got custom printed. One of my favorite thrifted items is a pair of sweatpants that I got that is supposed to say psychopath on the leg, but somebody spelled it wrong. So it says like piscopath or something, that some of the letters are switched around. But I just think it is an absolute conversation piece. It's hilarious. And you're never going to find something like that anywhere else. But alas, at the end of the day, we are not here for a manifesto on why to thrift, because I'm sure many of you that are listening probably already enjoy thrifting. We are here to discover how to thrift like a pro. Off the top of my head, these tips are ones that have helped me find some of my most prized thrift possessions. And a lot of these are things I just had to learn along the way. So you're welcome. I'm going to share them with you. First of all, go into it with a plan. Whether you need one item or you're just looking for a good time, you have to enter those golden doors of the Goodwill with some kind of plan, because otherwise it's a very overwhelming experience. Maybe your plan doesn't look like a specific item, but rather a genre of item, or just the simple thought, I need more jeans. Those kinds of things being in the back of your mind when you go into a thrift store, when you don't have anything specific that you're looking for, can help you focus your energy and not get fatigued. Because if you're going in and you're just letting the displays speak to you, it can really be like quite the mental toll that it's taking. So get the lay of the land. Look around, see how things are set up. Are they organized by color? Are they organized by size? Are they organized by gender or by trends? It's very rare that you'll see like displays set up in thrift shops, you know, mannequins, all that kind of stuff. I feel like usually the ones I go to anyway, they don't try to set up seasonal displays, and it's mostly just digging through shelves, which is my preferred method. But if you are at a slightly more bougie thrift shop, they might have things set up in the front for whatever season it is, or if there's some kind of holiday coming up, it's possible. So don't let that distract you, because you came in there for a reason. On this note, there is nothing wrong with tagging along with a friend who wants to go thrifting just for fun, just for the pure social potential and core memory making. Because I'll tell you what, nothing rivals the feeling of getting your little coffee, your little sweet treat, and accompanying your bestie off to the thrift store when they want to find a specific item. You're just like their little helper. You push the cart. You know, you sort out the hangers. You sift through the shelves. You locate their size. Like, there is just something so wholesome and satisfying about that. I like to call those the walk and browse, because you're not really going in there for anything specific to you, but you're browsing. You're getting your thrifting knowledge and acumen tuned for the next time that you're going in with a plan and a mission. Another tip I would say for thrifting is you have to think about what you're wearing when you set out to go thrifting, especially if you want to leave there with a specific clothing item. Obviously, home decor, this doesn't really apply. But when it comes to clothes, if you are going to be trying stuff on or even holding stuff up to yourself, you have to choose the optimal clothing item. I usually like to keep it light. I often get a little bit competitive and sweaty when I'm in the thrift shop because I'm using lots of arm muscle to move heavy jackets and sweaters, you know, pushing the hangers that are crammed in there like a million in one shelf to get to one item that's buried. It kind of can be a little bit physical at times. So I would say keep it light, wear something very plain, basic, a neutral, like a white t-shirt or a white, you know, fitted sweatshirt, something that isn't going to drown you out in case you do need to hold something up to your body, look in a mirror, you know, compare it size-wise, whether you're going to try it on or not. Thinking back on some of my older thrifting experiences, I have tried on a lot of items that I probably should not have even touched to my bare skin without washing. But, you know, I was young and free and I just didn't really care. And a lot of the times it helped me find some really cute dresses or skirts, things that I would never be able to know if they fit me without trying them on. Now I definitely lean more towards things I can eyeball or things that the size is one that I know, like, oh yeah, I'll fit into that in my current state. I guess that's another way to say it too, is like, if you don't want to try something on or hold it up to yourself in the store, that's totally fine, but you should know what your size is so that if you pick up an item and you can't tell just by looking at it, you could at least have a guesstimate based on the size. Don't even get me started though on women's sizing, because especially for pants, I think this is very difficult to do, and that is why I have leaned towards trying things on in the past, just because like every country does it differently, every brand does it differently. Now there's like different kinds of fits within the sizes too, so you might not necessarily know how something is going to fit you based on the pure number, and it can be super confusing. But here is a pants sizing hack that I learned from TikTok that can be very helpful when you do not want to try something on. Let's say you find a gorgeous vintage pair of Levi's 501s. A diamond amongst the coal of the thrifting shelves, if you will. But the fitting room is closed and you don't want to pass up this opportunity to know if these jeans will fit you. What do you do? Well, have no fear. What you're going to do is you're going to grab your jeans by the waist part. So picture like the pants just laying flat on the ground, not folded in any way. That top part that sits on your waist by the zipper and the buttons and all that jazz. You're going to wrap that around your neck, starting in the front and going around the back of your neck. If the two ends that would usually sit on your hip bones when you're wearing the jeans touch and come together, like in front of your Adam's apple, then they're going to fit you pretty snug. If they overlap, they're going to be a little bit of a baggier fit. And if the two ends don't touch together, then the jeans are not going to fit you. Don't ask me what kind of modern science this is, but I will tell you this trick has worked for me every time with a pair of pants. Sometimes it'll even work with something like a jean skirt, although I do find that this is not always a guarantee because this is more so for the hips than the waist. So if something fits a little bit more higher up on the waist, then this is kind of like iffy. It doesn't always work. But when it comes to something that's sitting on your hips, for whatever reason, your neck is proportional to this and you can figure out whether or not it's going to fit you without even trying them on. I have another theory about thrifting, and that is you will always regret what you abandon at the thrift store. I'm talking about that one thing that you saw and said, whoa, that is crazy, or that is just something I've never seen before. You pick it up, you're touching it, you put it in your cart, and maybe you're even walking around the store with it dangling off the side of your cart, still on the plastic hanger. We've all been there. But there have been plenty of times where I've found a really cool item and I've decided to leave it there when I was checking out and tallying up my items for whatever reason. Maybe I felt like it was a couple dollars more than I wanted to pay for it, or I already had too many other things in my cart. Whatever the reason may be, I have always regretted those things that I've left behind. even though we've already talked about in this episode how there are many items that will hang out at the thrift store for years upon years and maybe even be thrown away because nobody is going to buy them, there's some kind of magic surrounding these almost buy items where if you leave it there, somebody else is going to buy it or it's going to get thrown away before you come back and change your mind. I've done this more times than I can count. I found something totally quirky and amazing, and for whatever reason, I have questioned myself. I have thought that maybe it would be really weird to wear that thing, and I've left it there, and it's never been there when I've returned. Coming back to reconcile myself with this silly little item, somebody else has snatched it up or it's gone. So you really have to view it like it's your only chance. Anything you see in there is up for grabs and you might never see it again. This leads me to a very important distinction that I need to make here though. While on one side of the coin, anything you leave at the thrift store that you really wanted or really liked, you probably won't be able to find if you go back to retrieve it. You should never take the I can fix him mentality with a thrifted garment. Here's what I mean by that. If you try something on or hold it up and the coloring, the fit, the material, any aspect about it looks weird on you in the thrift store, or like it looks really good on the hanger, but then compared to you, you're just not liking something about it. That right there is an abort mission. You need to leave that item there. Do not buy it. I have found oftentimes, especially in Goodwills, the lighting is very bright white lighting. It makes even really ugly colors look pretty decent because it kind of drowns everything else out around it. Plus, it's one of those things that you're just sorting through these racks of all kinds of different colors and textures and materials. So after a while, something is not really going to stand out to you if it's like a pukey green versus a lime green. And therefore, if you're getting the ick while you're still in the thrift store, then you know it's going to be even worse by the time you bring it home. By the time it's matching up with things that are already in your closet, it's going to look absolutely horrendous. So follow that intuition when it comes to this. And just remember that there's no control variable. There's no reference point when you're actually at the thrift. Okay, everybody, you still with me? Take a little stretch, refresh your beverage, because we are rounding out on our thrifting tips. I know this episode is a little shorter than most, but my goal here is to inspire you to want to listen to the whole thing, put your phone down, and drive to the nearest thrift store. So here's some rapid-fire tips to round us out. I shouldn't even have to say this one, but I'm going to include it in case there's a very naive beginner in our audience. No disrespect, but this is something that you don't want to learn the hard way, so I'm going to help you out here. Never buy a bathing suit or underwear from the thrift store. Or socks. Usually they don't have them there, but you never know. Even headwear can be very iffy. These kinds of things I just prefer to not buy because you never know what was going on with the previous owner. But other kinds of accessories like belts, silk scarves, bags or leather gloves, and especially shoes can be very easily cleaned and are often some of the hidden gems of the thrift store because everyone's looking at the garments and the home decor, and you can find some real keepers in these sections, which are usually pretty overpopulated. Rapid fire number two, follow creators on social media who often post about thrifting strategies. One of my absolute favorites is Madeline Newell. I'll link her Instagram in the episode description, but she's a personal shopper and she posts a lot about how to find designer at the thrift stores, which I find super interesting. Also, she has a really satisfying voice. Quick tip number three, when you're looking for designer stuff, don't just focus on the big name designer brands. There's an entire second tier of designer that you can almost always find at pretty much any thrift store. If you find an article of clothing that seems good quality and you want to check if it's that second tier or first tier designer, go on vintagefashionguild.org. I will also link this in the episode description. They have pictures of designer labels, like the actual clothing tags themselves, on their website listed by name, so you can verify it while you are still in the store by just searching on their website. Super easy. Some of my favorite thrifted pieces of all time are from these mid-range designers because they are really good quality, but they're not listed as super expensive because they don't have name recognition. Just a couple more things. If you have an abundance of small items in your house that you need small storage receptacles for, you should start looking at the thrift store. Cups, jars, little wicker baskets are always abundant and they can be a really cute way to store things that looks creative and homey without it being clear plastic bins all the time. Also, if you're interested in starting hobbies like candle making or collecting vinyl records, the thrift store is a great place to start with that too. My mom and I started making candles not too long ago by finding really cute containers made out of glass or ceramic at the thrift store, and then using our own wax and essential oil blend to create healthier homemade candles that are better for the environment. What I love about thrifting is there's just so many ways to get creative with being a little bit more sustainable and environmentally friendly, and it can be personalized to a gift that you want to give to someone or something that you are missing in your house that you want to create rather than just source from somewhere else. And that's one of the beauties behind it, right? Because I think one of the saddest things about the fast fashion industry is that it strips away the intentionality behind a lot of the garment making process. So you can take that back when you accept the fact that sometimes you might have to go to a few different places or look in the back corners that are a little dusty and messy to find the exact right thing that you're looking for, or sometimes that you didn't even know you wanted to find, but it found you. And now for a word from everyone's favorite, Murph.
Should you ever need to find a First Communion suit for your brother, be sure to check out your local Goodwill. Additionally, should your family partake in an Easter egg crack, a multi-party event, and need a celebratory master's coat, be sure to also check out your local thrift store.
I hope you know we all thought that was very important to share in this episode. I realize I didn't even delve into home decor and how that works with thrifting or furniture, which is like a huge subsect of people who love to thrift and use Facebook Marketplace and get secondhand. So hey, I'll tell you what, if there's an interest, maybe I'll do a part two of this episode and it can be fully focused on decorating your house with thrifted and secondhand items. I think that could be fun. But definitely a more accessible way to start off if you're a little bit newer to the thrifting game is with clothing and accessories and just smaller items. So I hope these tips were helpful, and I really hope that it inspires you to go out there and try thrifting, make a day of it, get your little sweet treat, go with some friends, and really just enjoy it because it's a very, very fun hobby. And at the end of the day, please remember that style is subjective. So if you see the craziest sweater known to man and you think it is absolutely made for you, don't worry if anyone else thinks it's ugly. You should buy it. Even if I think it's ugly, you should override me. Because in my opinion, we are put on this earth to wear our weird little outfits and read our weird little books and jam out to our thrifted Wham! Make It Big vinyl. Maybe that's just me. But hey, I'm Lil. And as always, this was Gumption. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at GumptionPod and enter our giveaway. In the spirit of this episode and Earth Day, our giveaway consists of a custom thrift package, which the winner will receive simply by tagging as many friends that they would love to thrift with on our pinned post and following at GumptionPod. You get an entry for each comment that you make, and you get a bonus entry if you share one of our episodes to your Instagram story and tag us. In addition to the $100 value thrift package, you will also win a Gumption merch item that is no longer available, and a homemade candle with a secondhand or vintage vessel made by my mom and I. Definitely don't miss out because I have no idea when the next time I'll do a giveaway is, so this is a very exciting opportunity to get some OG Gumption merch and a custom thrift package done by myself that will be mailed right to you.